Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the road to Russia 2018. And the qualifying competition for football's premier event. Sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young broadcasting once again from our VOA headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, for our Voice of America football fans keeping score, the field for the 32-nation Global Soccer Jamboree, the World Cup, is currently one quarter full. Eight teams have officially qualified for Russia next year. They are, in alphabetical order, Belgium, Brazil, Iran, Japan, Mexico, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, and South Korea. Of the teams I just mentioned, Iran, Japan, Saudi Arabia, and South Korea qualified from the Asia region. Now, there's a possibility that a fifth Asian team, either Syria or Australia, will also qualify for the World Cup, but their road to Russia is indeed a very rocky one. Those two teams, Syria and Australia, will travel next week to the unlikely destination of Malacca, Malaysia. That's where they'll kick off a two-leg playoff. The first leg is October 5th in Malaysia, and the second leg is October 10th in Sydney, Australia. The Syrians, who have never qualified for the World Cup, might be the sentimental favorites in this playoff. They've been forced to host their World Cup qualifiers away from Syria because of security concerns. That's why the October 5th match is in Malaysia. The winner of the Syria-Australia playoff then faces another hurdle in getting to Russia. They'll have to play yet another two-leg playoff in November against the fourth-place team from CONCACAF, the region encompassing North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. While the Syrians are aiming for their maiden World Cup appearance, the Socceroos of Australia are bidding for their fifth World Cup appearance. Socceroos midfielder James Troisi sizes up the Syrians.
Yeah, I guess, all credit to them. You know, they in the position they are, you know, they have an opportunity, just like us. But in saying that, you know, we want to go to a World Cup, so we've got a bit of work to do. We won't underestimate them. We'll go into camp. We'll do our research. I mean, I'm sure the staff already have been doing their analysis on Syria, and we'll get everything we need to know about them. But obviously, like I said, everyone knows what we have to do. We'll do everything we can and what we'll have to do to qualify.
Qualifying for Russia 2018 will not be easy for the Socceroos, and James Troisi is well aware of that.
We're in this position because, you know, we couldn't get the job done for whatever reason, and we left it in someone else's hands, you know, which is not always a good thing, and it didn't work out. So, you know, now we've got a bit of a longer road, but we're pretty together, and like I said, you know, we know what we have to do, and I'm quietly confident that, you know, we'll get the job done.
James Troisi and the Socceroos of Australia will now try to get the job done next week in Malaysia.
These conditions and places we have to go are very different for us, but like I said, you know, we got to look at the bigger picture, which we will. And these games are going to get us to qualify for a World Cup. So, you know, it doesn't matter if there's 50,000 or, you know, 500 people in the stands. We'll approach the game the same way.
That's midfielder James Troisi of Australia's national football team, the Socceroos. And he was speaking in Melbourne, Australia, where Troisi plays for the football club Melbourne Victory. Meanwhile, Africa's qualifying competition for Russia 2018 resumes the weekend of October 6th, 7th, and 8th. Let's go group by group and run down the matches as well as the group leaders. Our Voice of America listeners will remember the top team in each of Africa's five qualifying groups will book a ticket to Russia next year. In Group A, Guinea is at home against Tunisia, and Libya will host the Democratic Republic of Congo. Tunisia tops this group with 10 points from four World Cup qualifiers, followed by the DRC with 7 points, and Guinea and Libya with 3 points. Guinea and Libya have been eliminated, so it's a two-team race between Tunisia and the DRC, with the Tunisians having the inside track at this point. In Group B, Nigeria is at home against Zambia, and Cameroon will host Algeria. The Super Eagles of Nigeria top the table with 10 points from four qualifiers, followed by the Chipolopolo of Zambia with 7 points, Cameroon with 3 points, and Algeria with 1 point. Cameroon and Algeria have been eliminated, so once again, it's a two-team race between Nigeria and Zambia. If the Super Eagles beat the Chipolopolo in Uyo next week, they'll clinch the ticket to Russia 2018, and I know they'll make many millions of soccer-loving fans in Nigeria very, very happy. In Group C next week, Mali will host Ivory Coast, and Morocco is at home against Gabon. This is a tight group with only 3 points separating the top three teams. Ivory Coast leads with 7 points from four qualifiers, followed by Morocco with 6 points, Gabon with 5 points, and Mali with 2 points. Turning to Group D, another very tight group. South Africa is at home against Burkina Faso, and Cape Verde will host Senegal. Burkina Faso and Cape Verde top the table with 6 points each from four qualifiers, with the Stallions of Burkina Faso ahead on goal difference. Now, Senegal and South Africa have played one fewer match, three, after FIFA annulled South Africa's victory over Senegal last November, following a lifetime ban given to Ghanaian referee Joseph Lamptey. They'll replay that qualifier in November. So as things now stand, Senegal has 5 points from three World Cup qualifiers, and South Africa has 1 point from three qualifiers. So that group is still very much undecided. Finally, in African World Cup qualifying Group E, Uganda is at home against Ghana next week, and Egypt will host Congo Brazzaville. The Pharaohs of Egypt top this group with 9 points from four World Cup qualifiers, followed by Uganda with 7 points, Ghana with 5 points, and Congo Brazzaville with 1 point. The Congolese have been eliminated from the race to Russia. In more African football news, Ghana says it's ready to host the 2018 African Nations Championship Tournament, or CHAN. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as more sports news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Ghana's Minister of Youth and Sport, Isaac Asiama, says Ghana is ready to host the 2018 African Nations Championship, CHAN, for domestic players. Next year's continental competition is without a host country after the Confederation of African Football declared that Kenya will not be ready. Ghana Minister Asiama insists that the country is ready to host CHAN, having successfully staged the WAFA Cup of Nations earlier this month.
Ghana stands ready to host any CAF organized event or tournament. This country is prepared. We are ready for any tournament event that CAF intends to organize in this country. We've got the capacity to do that. We did it in 2008. It was marvelously done. The whole world praised Ghana. Recently, WAFU, it's been done fantastically. So we've got the capacity to host any event from CAF or any tournament from CAF. So this country stands ready.
South Africa have already declared that they have no intention of bidding for the tournament, leaving Ghana as one of the clear favorites to become the new host. Elsewhere, the Council of East and Central African Football Associations has named Kenya as host of its Senior Challenge Cup 2 years since it was last held in Ethiopia. The CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup, which brings together all the national teams of the 13 member countries, will be held in November and December 2017. Staying with football, Cameroon will now face Sierra Leone in the second rounds of the African qualifiers for the FIFA Under 20 World Cup in France 2018. The Cameroonian side reached the second rounds of the qualifiers without playing the return leg, thanks to their 9-0 thrashing of their Guinean counterparts during the first leg in Conakry. In athletics news, former Nigeria and Africa sprint queen Mary Onyali has faulted the growing instances where African athletes switch allegiance to compete for other countries. The bronze medalist in the 4x100 meters relay at the 1992 Olympic Games said athletes must consider what they stand to lose before running for another country.
I had every opportunity in the world when I was competing to switch nationality. I was offered everything under this planet, but my heart won't let me. We all are different. We all have our needs and our reason for switching. I don't encourage it.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. And though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. Crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Clouds and storms will in time pass away, and the sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always, to keep everyone in His care. And keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
That's American country music star Brad Paisley with his version of Keep on the Sunny Side. A few fun facts about Brad Paisley. He was born October 28, 1972 in Glendale, West Virginia. Brad says his love of country music comes from his maternal grandfather, Warren Jarvis, who gave him his first guitar, a Sears Danelectro Silvertone. And we just heard some very nice guitar picking by Brad Paisley on Keep on the Sunny Side. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday and sporty greetings to you as well, Sunny.
Welcome back, Andrew. I understand a Man City player is trending.
Yes, Sergio Aguero, the Man City and Argentina striker, trending because he was injured in a car accident in the Netherlands, reportedly breaking some ribs when the taxi he was traveling in crashed. He'll be out of some key matches for both Man City and Argentina's national team, particularly notable being out of those Man City matches because Man City is leading the Premier League right now just ahead of their crosstown rival Man U. Fans, of course, sending their well wishes on social media and very much hoping for his speedy recovery. So we as well hope that he makes a quick turnaround and is back on the soccer pitch before we know it.
Definitely. I know Argentina is wants to get him back out there as quickly as possible, Andrew.
Absolutely.
What else is trending on this Friday?
Well, yesterday we talked about the oldest rivalry in the National Football League, the Green Bay Packers and the Bears, the Chicago Bears, capturing attention on Thursday Night Football after the player protests of the past week. A lot of people wondering what the teams were going to do last night. Well, we saw that players from both teams stood during the national anthem and linked arms. Now, on social media, this either earned them respect, saying it was a great show of unity, or people saying they didn't show any courage or support for their fellow players who were kneeling. So this back and forth continues even after this display last night. Other people wondering, why exactly are they standing? Is it in support of patriotism? Is it against the protest? Is it a show of team unity? What is the message behind that? So a lot of questions about that. I think we're going to continue to see that as we go into Sunday, the big football day here in the U.S. Oh, and by the way, Sonny, the Packers won the game, trouncing the Bears 35-14. Taking the home field advantage to its full extent there up in Green Bay.
I guess you can say they declawed the Bears.
They did indeed. They declawed the Bears for sure.
Well, these national anthem protests, they're spanning not just the National Football League, Andrew. They're going into other sports. I understand the NBA has taken a stance.
Yeah, ahead of the National Basketball Association season next week, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is speaking out about these protests. He says it's disheartening that there's so much disunity in society, and he hopes that basketball and sports generally will continue to be what it's always been, a place for unity. He's hoping his league and its players can play a constructive role in bridging divides and bringing people together despite the political differences. And a lot of people noting, Adam Silver says the NBA has a rule that players must stand for the national anthem, and he anticipates players will follow that rule. But he says players can express themselves in other ways. We've seen this in the past where players have worn different T-shirts or different maybe shoes that have messages on them. Fans are skeptical about this, though, on social media. They say it's not likely that all of the NBA players are going to stand. They think some are definitely going to kneel. Silver said that if that does happen, it'll be dealt with if it arises, and fans are just waiting to see because they say no way that everybody's going to fall in line with this. A lot of people noting, too, Adam Silver's response much stronger than that of Roger Goodell, who's the National Football League commissioner. They're saying Adam Silver is trying to walk a very fine line. And in this statement, he did it pretty effectively. He said players are allowed to speak out, but there are certain ways they can do so, certain ways they can't, and they're going to try to support them, but they also have to follow the rules. So we'll see if that ends up working out. Again, it's very difficult to try to police some of these things, but Adam Silver says he can do it in the NBA.
On that basketball note, Andrew, the Women's National Basketball Association finals resume later Friday night in Los Angeles. And I had a story earlier this week how members of the Los Angeles Sparks, the defending champions, they basically left the court before the national anthem was played. So it could be some carryover, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, the National Basketball Association has a lot of activist players, Steph Curry, LeBron James, many others who have spoken out. And the interesting thing, too, about the NBA is that a quarter of NBA players are foreign. They're not from the U.S., so it makes things a little different as opposed to football, where you have mostly American players. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out next week when the basketball season kicks off.
What else is trending on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, Sonny, it's not just professional sports where this has been an issue. As we talked about, I expected it would bleed over into, say, college athletics or even high school athletics, and indeed it has. It's made its way to the high school level, where a number of players are kneeling or sitting during the national anthem. And high schools are saying that if these players don't stand, they will be disciplined. They'll either lose playing time or they'll be suspended. There was one school in the U.S. state of Louisiana that was trending because they said they would punish their players for kneeling. And even in my personal Facebook feed, I saw one school in my home state of New York had issued a similar notice. So this could be a very dicey issue because you get into free speech. There are protections for students that they're able to speak out, but again, it goes back to that issue, which is more important, or which rules the day here, the free speech or the rules of the league that these players play in. So we're going to see that. And I think this is going to be one more facet of this protest we're going to see develop.
Anything else trending out there, Andrew?
Yes. So yesterday we talked about the President's Cup golf tournament in New Jersey. We talked about Tiger Woods and his statements there. And with all the golf stars at that event, Sonny, it was three amateur golfers who stole the show. Three men that perhaps you wouldn't be surprised to see at an event called the President's Cup. And I'm, of course, referring to former presidents Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. All three were on hand as the tournament got underway, posing for pictures that quickly went viral on social media, including a great selfie with golfer Phil Mickelson. He has the camera, and it's kind of, you only see the top half of his face, and the three presidents are behind him. So it was a very cool picture. People saying it's the most presidential selfie they've ever seen, and a cool memento for golfer Phil Mickelson.
Well, we have about a minute left in the show on this Friday. Andrew, any closing items?
Yes. One starts out sad, but it gets more interesting and fun. Closing item. It can be sad and complicated when a marriage comes to an end. There's lawyers and court appearances and dividing up possessions. But for one couple in Edmonton, Canada, the house, the money, the car, no problem. Divide that up. Great. One item, however, both parties wanted: the season tickets to the Edmonton Oilers of the National Hockey League. So the court decided they would have to split those tickets, but thankfully the divorced couple does not have to sit together. And people are saying online, this shows just how big hockey is in Canada, that this was the sticking point in the divorce. Not the car, not the house, the hockey tickets.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the September 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump addressed a group of African leaders during his trip to New York. He told them, "We hope to extend our economic partnerships with countries that are committed to self-reliance and to fostering opportunities for job creation in both Africa and the United States." Africa has tremendous business potential and represents a vast array of markets. Indeed, 10 of the world's fastest-growing economies are in Africa. President Trump noted that increasing American trade and investment across diverse industries, including agriculture, energy, transportation, health care, travel, and tourism, will further transform lives throughout the continent. The U.S. Millennium Challenge Corporation, administered by the State Department, is already considering an investment worth hundreds of millions of dollars in Côte d'Ivoire, which has made impressive economic reforms. We also hope that African firms, like the company Sasol, will consider making investments in the United States, said President Trump. Sasol is building a $9 billion petrochemical plant in Louisiana, which will create many new jobs in the state. The U.S. will continue its partnership with African nations on critical health initiatives as well. With regard to addressing conflict in Africa, the United States is committed to partnering with countries and organizations like the African Union to end violence, counter terrorism, and respond to humanitarian crises. Terrorist groups such as ISIS, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, and Al-Qaeda continue to threaten too many African countries. The United States is proud to work with these nations to eradicate terrorist safe havens, to cut off their finances, and to discredit their depraved ideology, said President Trump. The U.S. is monitoring the ongoing violence in South Sudan and the DRC, where millions of lives are at risk. Real results in halting this catastrophe, said President Trump, will require an African-led peace process. Toward that end, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, will be traveling to the continent to discuss avenues of conflict resolution and prevention. The United States, said President Trump, believes that free, independent, democratic nations are the best vehicle for human happiness and success, including in Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.